Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jeff with a J. I've been called Yef, and that's because of different cultures, which I'll get to later in my preach. It was wonderful to have Malachi and Ben being dedicated. I must just tell you a little story. When I first got into the ministry, we had I was in quite a big colored area. And this one guy came and he said, no, they're going to have a baby and they want to name him Malachi. So I said, nee, broer, it's Malachi. Whoa, he said, okay. He said, ek het gedink, jy weet, spiekie snaaks. So they wanted to give him a biblical name, Malachi. He hardloop my Malachi rond hier so. True story. So Malachi, God bless you, my boy. You are a messenger of note, and Ben too. Wonderful to have parents and friends and stuff with us. It's amazing. It really is amazing. If you're a visitor, I just want to say a very special welcome to you. And maybe the word that I'm going to share doesn't have a lot of specific purpose for you. Maybe. But maybe it does. So I want to address this congregation this morning and see where we go to. Last week, Vili, resilience. Such a good word. And you had to show that this week. You see, I'll tell you this. When we hear a word as on a specific topic in church, I guarantee you that next week you'll be tested on it. I remember preaching on prayer. You remember we did that whole thing leading up to the day of Pentecost, and they prayed. And I said, I'm going to tell you how to pray. It's just they went to Jesus and he said, when you pray, say, Father. That next week, from the Monday, my prayer life, I had to fight to pray. Flippin' devil. It's true though, because we get a truth. And unless we own the truth, you know, we're just going to, when we read it, like threaded through our eyeballs, it's not going to help us. We've got to own it, like Anton said. It must become a revelation to us. Then we can stand. In my day, and I'm looking at lots of you in our day, we used to say this, we must teach our people to have a robust faith. Because troubles will come. You don't get knocked off your perch for every little issue, man. Stand up. You're a child of God. Just take control. Own it. Don't. You know, what did Peter do differently when he got out the boat? Peter did nothing different. Peter did what was natural. Peter walked. He walked with Jesus everywhere. But Peter couldn't walk on water. So when he said to Jesus, tell me to come to you, Jesus said, come. And then Pete was in trouble. What am I going to do now? And he did what was natural. He got out the boat and walked. And when he did what was natural, the supernatural kicked in and he walked on water. We all may say, poor old Peter, he looked at the waves and they started drowning. Listen, I would have gone straight down. And so would you have. But he walked, what was natural, and God took hold of him, and the supernatural kicked into, and he walked on water. And then when he got back into the boat, you see that? I'm just saying, Thomas, did you notice? John, you know, you the man, did you notice? Because the supernatural happens when we put the natural into practice and believe God for the impossible. God is good at doing the impossible. Amen. Amen. The worship, Lisa, where are you? Thank you. Thank you, the worship band. Now, let me say this too. I'm one of these altar pieces. I just want to say that. When you elevate Jesus, when you sing about him, in heaven, they don't sing, we love you, we love you, we love you, and we do love him. But he loves us far more than we love him. They don't sing that. They sing, holy, holy or worthy. They declare who he is, not what we trying to do. Our best attempts at loving are feeble. They're feeble in comparison. So when I say I love you, no, I want to turn around and say, thank you, God, that you love me. Because John says this is love, not that you loved him, but that he loved you. You understand what I'm saying? Turn it. Start honoring the one who is worthy. And then something happens in our hearts. The Spirit of God takes hold of those truths. And our hearts become enlightened. We begin to see it. Beautiful. Anyway, back to resilience. I want to speak this morning about reconciliation. I am not one of those, I'm a stand now, stand, Jeffrey, stand. The Bible says, and finally, brothers, stand. So I'm going to stand now because I wander around here like a dog looking for a bone. Reconciliation. I'm not a guy that gets often woken up in the early hours of the morning to pray. Thank God at my age, I still sleep well. And when my alarm goes off, I get up. But, you know, some mornings these things happen. And about 2 weeks ago, God woke me. How do I know it was God? Well, I was suddenly awake. Just wide awake, 3:30. And then I start, you know, blaming the devil. You know, I want to go back to sleep. And the Lord said, no, I want you to speak to me because I want to speak to you. And so I got up and made a cup of coffee and went and sat in my lounge. And God spoke to me some words. And this is the refrain that kept coming to me. Right or reconciled? Do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? Well, I like to be right. And so do we. Just throw it out there. But it's far better to be reconciled. It's far better to be reconciled. And then this little statement came. Jesus gave up his right to be right in order to bring reconciliation. He did nothing wrong, but he gave up his right to be right at the cross, stand, Jeffrey, in order to bring reconciliation. And that kept going through my mind, it isn't a revelation. It's something I read years ago in a book. I had the privilege of going to Toronto in Canada when the whole move of the Spirit in 93, 94, 95 was happening. I took, my wife came with me, I didn't take her, she took me, and we took a friend. And this friend in one of the meetings, this is an aside, this is for free, he got so touched by God, he couldn't talk English. So he looked at me and blabbered, I said, what? So he wrote on a piece of paper, said, I can't speak English. And I said to him, thank God, because you talk too much. And he was dumb in his natural language for the whole meeting and on most of the way home. And then he said, I don't know what happened. And he said God spoke to him clearly about being right, but rather to be reconciled. There was a man there, his name was, I can't remember, Joseph Garlington, black American man, and he preached. And one of the message titles was, and everywhere the river went, the lamb was sure to go, because the river of God was flowing. And he wrote the book called Right or Reconciled. So it's not a revelation, it's a reminder of what I had read before. And then I'm not a Shakespeare fan, you know, William Shakespeare, culturally in Afrikaans, Willem Wikkelspies. in the play Hamlet. Hamlet says, to be or not to be? That's the question. And that refrain came to me. I mean, what do I know about Shakespeare? I mean, nothing. We did Shakespeare at school, but that was as much. At our elders' meeting on Tuesday evening, I spoke about what I was feeling, and the elders are on the same page. They haven't abdicated. Hannes is on long leave. Greg and them are away in St. Francis, and Aidan and Alicia are selling pancakes in one of the other congregations with the youthies. So I'm going to share what I felt God put on my heart. It's not directed at anybody in particular, but everybody in general. And it's not a hard word. I'm just kind of laying a foundation for you. I want you to understand our struggle, the struggle we have, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people, and culturally we... And I'll get to the culture thing just now. We look at people and say they, but there's a spirit behind what people do, say, think, whatever. And that's what we feel. And this is what the apostle wrote to the Ephesians. And I didn't give you the scripture. It's fine. 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Some translations said against principalities, powers, and we add municipalities. And no, there's a spirit that is in the world that comes against us as Christians in the church. And sometimes in the world, they don't feel it because they're not attuned to the realm of the Spirit. I mean, I was as thick as two bricks when I became a Christian about the spirit world. My late wife could see things. She scared me. We'd meet situations and she'd tell me on the way home, darling, A, B, C. And I'd say, oh, no, I don't think so. I didn't see it. But I began to believe her. Because she was always flipping right. And I was trying to be right. Our congregation, this congregation, has been through some struggles, some challenges, some difficulties. There have been hurts. There have been offenses. There have been words spoken that maybe should have been spoken, and words that maybe were spoken or weren't spoken. Actions, meetings, discussions, disagreements, lots of things. I wasn't here. I was in Weinberg doing my best. And then I came here last year for 6 weeks in February, March. And then the elder said, the apostolic team said, look, would you consider moving permanently? And God spoke to me, and now I'm here. And I'm here so much now that I've even got a CBS number plate. And I've bought a place. So whether you like it or not, I'm here to stay. And I told my kids, like I told them in the last place I bought, this is the place you'll carry me out from. I lied. I'm here now. And I've said to them, this is the place. And I said to the apostolic guys, don't. And they just smiled as if to say, well, you don't know what God's got. But I feel in the spirit some of the, I'm going to call it the sting of what happened. The sting. The ana of it. And I sympathize with you, because we're the body. I feel it, you feel it. But I felt God speak to me and show me some stuff, and I'm going to share that with you. I feel what this man just said. Now, his name is Sizwe. God wants to do something more in us than he's doing now. I feel almost like God's setting us up for something, because from when I arrived, and it's not because I'm here, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but when I arrived at the end of July last year, can you believe it? It's a year. Look at all the gray hair, you people. Thanks a lot. Until now, there's a change in our hearts because God has been doing something in our hearts and bringing us out of like a pit. He's doing something spiritually. In the spirit realm, something's happening. We're beginning to see, you know, light again and saying, yes, yes. And he wants to increase amongst us. I feel his joy, which is our strength, is coming in. Mornay said to us, he said, there's a joy in the meeting again. There's the life of God again. But at one point, it was a struggle and a battle. And you know, when it's like that, you don't want to come. Because it's just, it's not. And this morning, Lisa, I don't want to, she's my neighbor. I think she's kind of, you know, they've picked up something from, and I'm joking. The worship took us somewhere. It was amazing. Not that the other worship leaders don't do it. It's the first time I've heard her lead worship. And this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. I feel the Lord wants to work in our hearts. I feel he's preparing us. But I think something hinders the progress. And this is what I feel it is. There's a spirit of mistrust because of things that were said and things that were done that didn't suit some of us the way we would have liked it to be done. That's when this word comes, right or reconciled. Do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? If you are a child of God, you want to be reconciled. I'll give you a testimony. A few years ago, I had an investment thing, and you know, as pastors, we're so poor, we can't even pay attention most of the time. And I'd saved up some money, and it went into an investment, and it went sour. It went, as they say, south. I don't know why south, but it went that way. Could have gone anyway. Could have gone to the east because I would have never found it there, I know. And I haven't found it south and I'm. and so people said, well, you must do this. There was nothing I could do. It has done. And I remember saying to a guy that, ach, it's just money. And he said, what do you mean it's just money? You've got it. And he was about for me. I said to the Lord when that read, I said, Lord, I'm going to sow that. I'm going to make like I sowed that. And you know, did I just accept it? No, it was hard to accept that. And I would wake up in the night and think, and then I'd speak to myself, because the enemy wants to keep reminding me of what happened. Yeah, you think you're not going to. When I decided to sell my little place, I had a little flat in the Marina da Gama near Muizenberg in Cape Town. Not the best area in Cape Town. And there was a lady in the complex when I left who said to me, she was an estate agent, and I actually spoke to her about the Lord a couple of times. And she said, when you decide to sell, give me your word that you'll phone me. So, you know, you say, yes, of course. You don't say, no, I won't. Because we're Christians. Of course I'll give you my word. Like lots of you say, look, I'll pray for you. Oops. Then 3 weeks later you see him and you think, I didn't pray once. I said, I'll phone you. Anyway, I had a mate who was doing some work like that. And when I wanted to sell, I said to him, give me an idea of what you think I can ask. So he said, you can ask X, you'll probably get Y. Then I remembered I'd given another person my word. So I phoned her and I said, listen, I'm going to be selling the thing. Thank you so much. I had words from other people saying, oh, she's just joined another agency. It's probably going to be the worst thing, blah, 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 blah. You know, all the negative stuff. She and her friend put it on the market for that much, where this other guy said, it's that much. Went on one Wednesday. The following Wednesday, I signed the offer to purchase. I was gobsmacked at the amount. Then I wanted to buy a place, and I always had my sights set on here in the Gulf Estate because Jeff lives there, and I thought the two Jeffs can be together. And Jeff and Jeff. And I've warned him now. I actually, when I get there, I'll do a little bit of a patrol at night just to see if everything's going on. No. But it was a bikkie, as Afrikaans people say, bikkie boerkant, my food, my place. I just couldn't afford it. But I knew what I could get out. And so I put in a really cheeky offer. And they accepted it. Hallelujah. I'm driving 2 weeks ago to Fleersby. I've only ever been there once. This was the second time. I had friends there. And as I turned off the N2, this dropped into my heart. I've done it for you. I've done it for you. What have you done? What's that about? And then it dawned on me. God has given me back twice as much as what I lost, not in cash, but in kind. That's the God we serve. That's what God wants to do here. Sorry, it's just a personal testimony. Please now don't come and ask for me for money. I haven't got any. It's all gone into my house. All right. There's a spirit of mistrust because of what happened. There's a spirit of like unease. We say things and then people think, oh, you said something like that before. It's almost like the spirit, the devil has thrown confusion amongst us. I'm not sure, I don't know, I'm not sure. And so what happens is as soon as we make progress, and we have, I'm loving the prophetic words. I'm loving that people are rising again and bringing and doing it. And I'm pushing people to go back to where they once knew. Come on. Come on. God's waiting. We need you. We need the gifts. We need the body to function. But as soon as something happens and we make progress, somehow the enemy takes us back and then says, do you remember? And so what happens is the wound is getting healed, but we go back and we pick the scab. And you know when you pick a scab off too quickly, what happens? It bleeds. And then it bleeds a bit, and then it heals, and then the same happens. And I've been feeling that. That's what happens. And I'm saying, no. You know when a scab comes off, who remembers the little advert? There was a little kid, he got a cut. And his mom put a Band-Aid on it. And when she took the Band-Aid off, the remark was, hey, where did my cut go? And that's what happens in the spirit realm when we allow God to heal it properly. And don't pick at it by going back. Can you say amen? Amen. You're still with me? It's like there's a perpetuation of some kind of sin or the wrong or the mistake or the misunderstanding, call it what you like. It's almost like the enemy wants to perpetuate that to hold us back from receiving what God wants to give us. And that's what God woke me with. Now, let me just say this. Some of you might already be saying to yourself, now here we go. No, it's not here we go. Here's what God, by his spirit, wants to say to us as a people this morning. It's not the elders know, they kept running, are you all right? Are you all right? How's the prep going? I sat yesterday, God, up and down like a toilet seat in a gents. I was up and then I was down. Then I was drink something, then I'd go back. And can I say this, Lord God? That's what was my day like. I want to relax, man. And I'm doing this. God wants to do something. So how do we move on from that? How do we take a step forward and say, right, so you can put up for me, Leonie, Philippians 4, verse 12. Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in need. I can do everything through Him who strengthens me. And I gave you chapter 4, and that's a brilliant scripture, but that's not the scripture, because it's chapter 3. You see how nervous I was. This is what Paul says. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus, there you are, took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And I want to say that to all of you. Brothers and sisters, I haven't done that. I haven't yet taken hold of it. But one thing, just one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting. In Psalm 100 and something, the Bible says that God has chosen to remember our sins no more. It didn't say He's chosen to forget them. It says He remembers them no more. So when you come to Him with a remembrance, He will say to you, I don't know that one, because that one's been forgiven. I remember it no more. It's gone. And this is the same word that Paul's saying, forgetting what is behind, I press on to take of the... Oh, I'm with the time. We had a long morning session, so forgive me. So you ask, how do I forget? How do I just... I say, by being reconciled, by forgiving, by humbling yourself, by having the same attitude that Jesus had. And Philippians 1:5 gives us that. Because of you. Have I gone mad? 1:5. It says your attitude. Because of your punishment. Oh yeah, that's true. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. My Bible's different. This is the real thing. I'm just saying that's wrong. Your attitude. Now I can see, bro. Your attitude. Attitude is key. You know the Nike advert? Just do it. Attitude. Your attitude should be the same. He gave up His right to be right in order to bring reconciliation. I'm going to speed on. So the progress we make by taking ground, so to speak, must be sealed. We take ground. We own this place now. I've left behind. I'm forgetting what's there because this is my new place. I don't forget it in the sense of it never happened. It happened. It hurt. It was painful. It was difficult. But it's behind you now. That means that it's behind me. Now, this is the new spot. I've got new challenges because some other Wally is also going to come sometime and also make it difficult for me. Then I can't go back again and say, freck, now I've got two difficulties, when you should only have one. Because we keep picking up what we left behind. And Jesus said, when you come to the cross, lay it down at the foot of the cross. Lay it down. But we lay it down, pray, big prayers, yes, God. Then we leave and we pick it up. And God says, oh, leave it. Just leave it. I'll take care of it for you. On your behalf. We can't just fantasize that we've taken ground once held. We can't just think, I've taken ground, glory, hallelujah. Like rosary beads. I've taken the ground, hallelujah, taken the ground. I'm claiming it in Jesus' name, hallelujah. No! You've got to own it. You can't just mouth it. You've got to own it. How do you receive the promises of God? People said, you claim them. No, you believe them. You can't claim the promise. It's not your promise. It's the promise of God. You believe that promise. I'm talking about our thoughts. thought patterns, our heart posture. We must own those things for Christ. We must realign our hearts. Then the new ground, I'm calling it that, that we occupy, we move on. We move on. I'm owning this now. Because God keeps moving us forward. He's a God who keeps moving forward. You can't occupy your fantasy. You can't occupy just the thought of moving on. It must be an action. It's got to be ownership. Forgetting what is behind, straining to what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. He says, "Where it's heavenward. I'm pressing on. It's heaven. It's becoming outside of me and this worldly system. It's about Him. It's about His glory. It's about His life. It's about Him doing things in me that I couldn't possibly do by myself. And empowering me. Empowering me. I get confidence. The sick, bring the sick." Jesus said, heal them. He didn't say, pray for them. Jesus said, go and heal the sick. We say, no, we go pray for them. No, it's not according to the scripture. We must believe that. Because when you believe it, you see results. We must believe. I'm forgetting what is behind. I'm owning that now. That's mine. And I'm pressing on. And the one thing, Paul says, one thing, just one thing. One thing at a time, forgetting what is behind. I'm pressing on. God has called us heavenward. It's the one thing. You see, we all come out of certain cultures. Culture has shaped us. I'm English. I'm English speaking. I can speak Afrikaans, Xhosa, and I speak in tongues. I speak four languages. I didn't know this, that one of the biggest selling features of houses in Mossel Bay is a binnebraai. Nee, wereld, broer. I never knew that. I'm a braai room, broer. That was the first thing they said to me. It's got a braai room. Really? What's a braai room? No, that's a braai inside. You just braai inside. There's a special room. There's your braai room. I come from the southern suburbs. We never had braai rooms. It's a culture. It's a cultural thing, and culture shapes us. Ethnic culture, racial culture, family culture, church culture, schooling culture. Wherever you develop a culture, that's what you live with. That's what shapes your life. I went to boarding school. I had all my sex education given to me by the matrix. It was unhelpful. Very unhelpful. When I got saved, God showed me, whoa, safari. So I forgot what was behind because it was sordid and useless. And that was the culture I was brought up in. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is my family. My dad was a farmer. It's culture. We went to church on Sundays when we didn't go fishing. And my dad loved fishing, and so did we. So we were country members at the church. We went every now and again. That was my culture. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of your cultures, you took your 6x4 pocket Bible to church so the neighbors could see, and you went to church every Sunday, and it was as boring as a donut with not a hole in it. Just terrible. And you sat there on hard wooden benches. That's your culture. And the Dwemini wax eloquent, and at 5 to 11, when it was getting a bit long, you saw the people doing this to see if their watch was ticking. Because it was an hour now. That's culture. You get born and raised in a culture. There's culture. There's a surfing culture. I surfed once. I had a longboard at Musenberg. I fell off and rolled out there, and then they kept throwing me back into the water. I said, I'm trying to get out. They thought I was a beach seal in a wetsuit. No. I said, I'm trying to get out. Leave me alone. It's a culture. The bodybuilders, Dion that comes here, he's a bodybuilder. There's a culture with bodybuilders. There's a culture with people who run. I wonder who's chasing them. There's a culture. You know what I'm trying to say? We are brought into a culture. Now I get saved. I get saved. And in my culture, I'm the one. It's my way or the highway. They've even named an insurance company My Way now. That's how selfish the world is. My way. Geez, some oak saying, I'll do it my way. He's probably in hell because he did it his way. You know what I'm saying? Now I get saved. Now I'm into a new culture. It's called kingdom culture. And the king of the kingdom, his name is Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the anointed one. And he says, I want you to learn this new culture. And it goes against everything that I learned in my life. Everything. I looked up the Greek word for everything. It says everything. We are new creations. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, we're a new creation. I've been born again. Something happened internally. You've been born again. Born again is not an American slang word that some church, you know, decided they'd use. It's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Why did he say that? Because Nicodemus, I want to show you this new culture. It's not church culture. It's not church culture. It's kingdom culture. That's why we are a value-based church. Kingdom. It's about the kingdom of heaven. I've stepped out of the kingdom of darkness and I'm in the kingdom of light. The veil that was over my eyes is gone. And suddenly I'm seeing things. And frick, it's different. But Jesus said, listen, I'll put my spirit in you. And he will enable you to change to fit the culture. But we say, I want to do it my way. And on many things, we don't reconcile ourselves to the culture that God has instituted in the book. Because it's challenging. I think Anton prayed something about, we don't just want the nice parts. We want the hard parts too. We must preach the full gospel. That, by the way, is where they got their name from. They said, we're going to preach the whole counsel of God. We're going to preach the full gospel. So they called themselves the Full Gospel Church. Just a little bit of history for free. We want to preach the full gospel. The kingdom of light is the kingdom, and the king is perfect in every way. We've got South Africa. It's a republic. It's like a kingdom. We've got people ruling over us. I don't want to embrace that culture. I don't want to. So the church is always counter to the culture of the world. We're going to have trouble. Hear me. Hear the word of God. We are going to get into trouble. Not everybody's going to like me after this, but the Bible said that will be the case. I don't want you not to like me, but I've got to preach the truth. Because when you know the truth will set you free. Can you say amen? We've been given a ministry of reconciliation. What's my ministry? Your ministry is reconciling people to God. That's your ministry. That's your ministry. I need a ministry. You have one, you ugly thing. So I'm going to stop saying that. I'm going to get into trouble. The ministry that God has given all of us is a ministry of reconciliation. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians. I did give that to you. So from now on, I love this. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That's how I used to do it, from a worldly perspective. I regarded people from a worldly point of view. The way I thought, my culture, I thought, well, I'm right. Look at these oaks. I go to America, they drive on the wrong side of the flippant road. Look at them. They need to be helped. No, it's culture. It's who they are. The Americans, loud, brash, in your face, positive. Go to the English, they all, yeah. How are things going? Well, not so bad. Could be better. You ask an American, on top of the world, bro, absolutely no problem. You go to Australia, nothing wrong, mate. It's culture. And so I get into this new situation and it goes counter. And I'm used to having my own way. There's a new culture we have to adapt to. And when you're wronged, you don't act like you used to. You remember some work at school, look at the rugby players. I love the rugby players. they beat each other up. I mean, they tackle and they some even bite. Some even hold, grab you where they shouldn't. I mean, it's just, it's rugby. It's rugby. And at the end of it, they shake hands. Yeah, lekker, yeah. And we clapped each other around, and it was a lekker game. And he's got a black eye, and he's got a skew nose, and it was lekker. That's culture. Because you're getting your own way. You take it down. My 8-year-old grandson, he plays rugby. I said, what do you like about rugby? He said, I like to tackle. I said, why do you like to tackle? He said, I take my anger out on them, Papa. No, that's his coach. He says, you get cross, they the opposition, you take your anger out. He's 8 years old. He's being taught a culture. I'm saying, whoa, rather play soccer, Jana. Because when he's 19 and he's going to be a big boy, he's going to be the man. And then something's going to happen and he's going to meet Jesus and the culture's going to change and he's going to be shocked. Why didn't somebody tell me this before I got into this place? Are you with me? Something goes wrong. We don't think like we used to. I don't think like that anymore. I do think like that, but I don't act like I think. Because I can't stop the thought. Yes, Hebrew, I want to give you a knuckle sandwich. Just because. But you don't give him a knuckle sandwich. But before you got saved, it got close. Now you step away. Because you're in a new culture. The Spirit of God is teaching you a new way to do these things. This is what Tozer says about Christians. A real Christian is an odd number. He feels supreme love for the one he has never seen. He talks every day to someone he can't see. He expects to inherit heaven on the virtue of another. He empties himself in order that he might be full. He admits he's wrong so he can be declared right. He goes down in order to get up. Sang it this morning. He is strongest when he is weakest, richest when he is poorest, and happiest when he feels worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, and gives away so that he can keep. He sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passes knowledge. He is an odd number. And when we stand for the reality of who Christ is in our lives, we are odd. Peter calls us a peculiar people. People who stand against the things of the world. As new creations, the temptation is often to go back to the stuff. You remember when Jesus was crucified and Peter said to his friends, I'm going fishing. He went back to what he knew before he got saved. And all his friends said, we'll go with you. Yep. No, we're in a new culture now. I don't go back. I forget. I want to go fish. I badly want to go fish. I really want to fish. Peter, you're on a mission now. You can fish in your spare time. I want to play golf. I really want to play golf. I can play golf. I think I'm going to play golf. So I won't come this morning. No, it's a new culture now. My priorities have changed. Hebrews 4:15 confirms that we are all tempted in all sorts of ways. We do not have a high priest. I love the double negative. We do not have a high priest who is unable. Why didn't he just say we have a high priest who is able? No, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. That's the standard. Can I reach it? No. Do I want to? Yes. Because why? He's put that hope in me. He's put that life in me. I can't stop temptation, the thoughts. I cannot fall into temptation, but I'm going to get tempted. Look at the time. Sorry. I'm going to get fired. The want of the heart is to be proved right, but the want of heaven is to be reconciled. The want of the heart is to be proved right, but the want of heaven is to be reconciled. He gave up his right to be right in order to bring reconciliation. I'll finish with Romans 12:2, don't conform, do not. It's a strong word. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know. You will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, perfect will. Just take the word conform. Just leave it up there, Leonie. Con, what is a con? What's a con? Hey? Counterfeit. Somebody cons you. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. What does trance mean? Sorry? Come on, guys. You're the English students. Trance means? Across. Transformed. I step across the divide. I'm being transformed. I'm not going back there. I've crossed something. I've crossed from darkness into light. I'm transformed. Hallelujah. That's what God wants for us. Only the Lord can help us get our hearts right. These things, the Bible says, they're wicked and deceitful. They dream up things. At the most inappropriate times, I get thoughts. I think, where did that come from? I mean, I'm not even thinking anything close, and suddenly this thing, I thought, you ugly devil, how dare you? So I take it captive. I say, you're not going to get me. You will not get me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Only God can help. I want us to read Psalm 133. And then I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I've written a prayer. I know it's like, did I give you 133? Oh, you've got it. Don't put it up yet. So we're going to pray this prayer. Now, you know, often in churches, you see the guy and then he's got a written prayer with a prayer book. And then they pray, you know, all those beautiful prayers and you think, sure. We don't do that. We want to pray from the heart. But I have written a prayer. So I'm sorry I'm taking you back to some of your traditions. But I want to read Psalm 133 quickly. Let's read it. Beautiful psalm. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured on Aaron's beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there, the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. And the apostle says, you know, keep the unity of the faith, meaning there is a unity among us. It's already here. It's happened because of who we are, what God has done. There's a unity. He says, keep it. Keep it, because where there is that unity, I'm going to command blessing. Wow. You with me still? Okay, we're going to stand. Can I ask you to stand? And we're going to put this prayer up. And I would encourage you all to pray it with me. And I'll face the front as well. And I'll help you. Can you see it? It's okay. You're going to follow me. Let's start. Our Father, we come to you this morning in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know all things, Lord. And so we humble ourselves before you this morning and ask you, Holy Spirit, to highlight any area in our lives that could be causing a hindrance in what you want to do in us and through us. We ask you, Lord, to take authority over any demonic stronghold that has attempted to establish itself against us and the work that you have planned for us as a congregation. And to release your anointing over us, O Lord, because it's your anointing that breaks the yoke and sets us free from any mistrust with leaders or one another, any unease amongst us, and any confusion in our hearts and minds. We thank you that you are a faithful God, and so we submit ourselves afresh to you again today and ask you to do a mighty work amongst us for your glory and our encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen.